Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. And behind me is a song called Ordinary Life from the songwriter Ezra Furman. Now, that is something that Furman has not been doing for the last few years, living an ordinary life. I mean, in addition to the general craziness of a touring musician, he is a swirl of contradictions and ideas and really great classic rock and roll sounds. He and his band, The Boyfriends, are here on Soundcheck today to play some songs for us from the latest record called Perpetual Motion People. And they're going to start with Lousy Connection. Here's Ezra Furman live on Soundcheck.
I don't wanna be the best.
That's good stuff from Ezra Furman and the Boyfriends. The song's called Lousy Connection, and you'll find a version of it on the new album called Perpetual Motion People, which is out now. Ezra Furman singing and playing guitar. Ezra, welcome to Soundcheck.
Nice to be here.
Nice to have the Boyfriends with us as well. Sam Durkee's behind our drum kit, Ben Joseph at our piano, Jorgen Jorgensen-Briggs playing the bass, and Tim Sandusky playing the saxophone. So the album is called Perpetual Motion People, and you all have been in sort of perpetual motion since the release came out, right?
Touring a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
And beforehand, too. It's sort of a spiritual condition that I occupy,
mm-hmm.
of kind of a fluid concept of myself and what is true. I don't know. Motion, being in motion is very important to me. It comes up thematically again and again.
Now, you talk about having a kind of fluid version of your own identity, and that extends to gender as well in the cover art for the album. And even though this is radio, we're shooting video, so I'm going to ask, you're dressed somewhat restrained here in the studio today, but are those real pearls?
These are real fake pearls.
They're real fake pearls.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not a hologram. I think somebody gave me these at a concert.
Mm-hmm. So the song you just did was called Lousy Connection. And to me, it's kind of emblematic of a lot of this record in that I find myself grinning through this album as I listen to it until I start to kind of pay attention to the lyrics. And there are lyrics about depression and anxiety and identity and questions of identity and all that kind of stuff. So that push and pull of the sound of the music and the content of the lyrics, is that a kind of a subversive form of pop music for you?
Yeah, isn't that a lot of the best stuff is darkness coated in lightness. Those are a lot of my favorite songs are like that. Help. I like the song Help by the Beatles and things like that. Things that are upbeat and desperate.
Mm. A lot of reggae, a lot of calypso even. You know, we think of these like really sunny Caribbean styles of music. And a lot of those lyrics were really kind of dark.
Apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even like revolutionary, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In the case when those islands were still under British rule and, you know, a lot of coded and sometimes not so deeply coded messages.
Hey, Al. A lot of songs, our songs are kind of in code. Maybe that's just a tick of mine that I picked up from doing a lot of stuff in code, feeling shy throughout my life. You learn to do everything in code a little bit, but you get the truth in there. And also the enthusiasm is not just the sugar coating. I feel very sincere about that as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm. A procedural, a logistical question, Ezra. As an observant Jew, what do you do with Friday nights? I mean, you're touring around. It's kind of hard to avoid concerts, I would think.
Oh, I don't play concerts.
Really?
So I just don't. Just find a place to be. Hopefully there's, you know, some kind of Jewish community, whatever town we're in. But if there's not, do it solo,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. Do people in the community, in the observant community, find it odd that you, as someone dealing with, you know, gender roles and queer culture and stuff, are also in, you know, a part of that community?
You know, there's all kinds of Jewish people in the world. There's all kind of religious people. And there's a lot of different ways to do it. Orthodox people, I think, would say I shouldn't wear what I wear, you know? Shouldn't wear dresses. Yeah, and I mean, there's plenty of people in the world who think that. I'm not bothered.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there has to be ways to be into the different things. I mean, into the different things you're into as a person. And if a religion tries to reject the diversity in its adherents, it loses a lot of people, and I think it's a shame because there's a lot of temptation for me to just, like, this is a conflicting identity, or, you know, there's some kind of conflict a value somewhere. Most people just walk away. I intend to, you know, transform it into a workable thing for me because I love it. I'm deep. I'm deep into observant Judaism, and it's not the way I was brought up, and none of my friends, most of my friends are not observant in any way, and I don't care. I'm doing it.
All right, doing it his way, Ezra Furman. Let's hear another song. You want to do something from the previous record from Day of the Dog?
For you, anything.
All right. The song is Walk On in Darkness. And once again, this is Ezra Furman and the Boyfriends playing for us this afternoon here in the Soundcheck studio. Ezra Furman and the Boyfriends with their song Walk On in Darkness from the 2013 album Day of the Dog. And how did you become a fan of Lou Reed?
How did that happen? It was going around and my cool, arty, punky friends. The Velvet Underground was being passed around and talked about. And I took to them in a deep way. It became my favorite band, rather swiftly. I there was something in the way that guy approaches being a rock and roll singer that and songwriter that I was like, actually, this is what I was supposed to do.
Really?
Yeah, I could. I mean, it called to me on a level of some kind of freedom, some kind of inhabiting the form without ever letting it hold him down.
Well, you know, listening to Perpetual Motion People, I mean, it reminded me of a couple of things. John Lennon of the 1970s, but especially the album Transformer. The way that, you know, the same album that has, you know, Walk on the Wild Side also has New York Telephone Conversation. You know, these completely, apparently, disparate sounds all coexisting together on the same record.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, that's just... Listen to this disparate stuff too much. I never got the message that your record should sound like all one thing.
And speaking of Lou Reed's Transformer, I understand that you're writing the 33 and a third book on that album.
Yeah.
First of all, I was stunned because, like, how many dozens are there? Over 100 33 and a thirds, and no one has covered Transformer yet?
Well, there's a lot of albums in the world.
I know, but come on, that's like... That's a touchstone record.
Is it? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, part of my thing about it is I don't worship that album. Mm. I don't think it's the best album of the 70s or of 1972. I don't think it's the best Lou Reed album.
Then why are you writing about it?
I think it's like a very interesting... I find it very interesting how that album... fails and succeeds in this strange combination. I think he's at a... In that one, it's like he's at a very funny time where he's like, maybe it's time for me to sell out, or maybe it's time for me to affirm my identity as like a gay person or as a commercial artist and all these different like things that he's kind of like, maybe I'm this. Mm-hmm. And then he... like utterly, like either rejects them or can't commit. There's something, I don't know, something I vibrate very deeply with about that sort of failures of identity. And it's all like about code, you know, that whole thing's kind of, I think, in code. And you think it's just on first listen, it's sort of a regular rock record, mostly. And then it's like, woundedness and intelligence and weirdness kind of sneaks up on you. And
yeah,
I love that kind of thing.
Well, you know, and I kind of agree with you. I mean, I do think it's a touchstone record, but I also agree with you. It's not the best Lou Reed record. It's not the best record of 1972, but it is a really unusual record and one that, you know, kind of occupies a place.
What do you think is the best Bear record of 1972? putting you on the spot.
Didn't Ziggy come out in 72? I would have to go with Ziggy Stardust.
Yeah, well, that's an all right one.
Yeah, it's okay. And I think, wasn't Exile on Main Street 72?
I believe it was. That's a, Sail Away by Randy Newman, I like that one.
Yeah.
Pink Moon by Nick Drake.
Was that 72? I thought that was a little later.
Oh, I've been doing my 72 research.
Okay, all right. All right. Yeah, those are all great records. But so you're doing Lou Reed's Transformer.
Well, I'm writing it. I'm writing it now. And they told me it's coming out early in 2018. Seems like a long time away. I got to make it good.
So that'll be part of the 33 and a third series. Ezra Furman taking on Lou Reed's Transformer. The most recent album is called Perpetual Motion People. It is out now. Ezra, thank you so much for coming in and performing for us.
It's our pleasure.
If you'd like to see a video of Ezra Furman and the Boyfriends performing here in the studio, go to our website, soundcheck.org. There you will also find another web extra. Ezra and the band did a version of Nirvana's In Bloom for us here in the studio. That's posted on our website as well. Check us out at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. This is the Soundcheck Podcast.